and love, love your love. Tell me, were you hiding from me all the time? Each time I tried to find someone to take your place, it was all in vain. No, their lips were never quite the same. No, baby, when I was kissing someone new, deep inside I was missing you. Oh, baby, you made me fall in love with you. Now I don't know just what I'm gonna do. Oh, honey, I looked out into empty space and all I saw was your.
This is The Spec, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to another gorgeous Sunday afternoon. It's a beautiful time of day, and I have some beautiful gentlemen here with me today. I'm pleased to welcome into the show Riley White and David Palomar. You all know David. He's been on like 1,000 times. But Riley, it's great to have you on the show. How you doing?
What up? Oh, this is so weird. I'm hearing my own voice right now.
David, you doing all right, dude?
Oh, hello, everyone. Hello, Medford. You can't get rid of me that easy. Yeah, I have returned.
This is David's fourth time on the show, so we're not going to focus on him too much at the moment. I want to hear from Mr. Riley White.
That's quite amazing, though. He's been on the show 4 times.
I know. He's really racking it up right now. Riley, it's great to have you on the show, man. Riley and I, how did we meet? Let's talk about that to start.
Oh, my God. Yeah, let's talk about that. So, we met in Lilly Library.
Yeah, last year. We all do theater in some capacity, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. That's how we know each other. And they were coming out of a... David and Riley were coming out of a meeting for the student theater group on campus. Mm. And David was with Riley, and I was like, oh, who's this guy? And then we talked, and then we were all just in a show together, Marie Antoinette, which we can get into later. Mm-hmm. But it's great to have you guys on the show. Riley, one question I always start off with my guests is... Where are you from? How did that shape you? And what was it like first coming to Boston? What was that transition like for you?
I'm from a lot of different places.
Okay, let's hear it.
No, yeah. Because I moved around a lot. I'd say I can go into my full backstory. I was born in Memphis, Tennessee, and I didn't live there long. I moved to Indiana when I was 2, and then lived there for a good 6 years. Then I went to Georgia. That was a bad time. And then I moved to Kansas.
Oh, wow. I didn't know all these places.
Yeah,
jeez.
So I lived in Georgia for 2 years, lived in Kansas for 2 years, and guess what? The next place that I lived was Italy, like the country.
No
yeah.
shot.
The Mediterranean.
I did not know that.
No, I knew that.
Yeah, so lived in Italy. That was fun.
What was that like for you moving around a lot? Like, what was it pretty, after a while, was it easy to adjust? Or did you feel like, you know, every time it was like, oh my gosh, this is a whole new place. I mean, did you get used to it after a while?
Yeah, I mean, kind of going off of your second question, like, it's definitely shaped who I am. Like, I can move right now very easily.
Yeah.
Like, I know what traveling's like. So that's like, it's a pretty nice, like, benefit of having moved a lot.
Yeah.
And definitely, like, seeing the world, like seeing Europe, like going off of Italy is like just amazing, really.
I bet.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, what was it like? So, you were most recently in Indiana. What was the specific transition to coming to Boston and actually just planting yourself, first time living away from your family? What was that like coming here?
Oh my God. So, Indiana, so flat. Nothing to do. There's corn, there's soy, and really just a lot of white people. So, coming to Boston, it's just like all different. It's a city, it's a city place. There's like actual like topography. There's like woods and stuff. Yeah, no, like,
that's
seriously.
Crazy.
No, like seriously, there is one hill in Indiana and it's like the garbage dump. Mm-hmm. So like that's the one hill in Indiana. And so, yeah, coming to Boston where like Tufts is on a hill, very different experience. I love it here. It's much more fast paced.
Yeah.
Much more, I think, my speed.
That's dope.
I love it here.
Yeah. It's always interesting for me because like being from... literally from the area, I don't have that perspective of like making this big move from somewhere else. So I love hearing just like everybody. I've talked to a lot of people from all over the world on this show, and it's cool to hear everybody's different perspective.
Yeah.
Anyway, Riley brought on some songs to share with everybody today. We're going to talk about a couple of them. This first one is Campus by Vampire Weekend. Why'd you bring on this show song, Riley?
So I really like this song. It's kind of just like a vibe. It has a nice bass drum throughout, and I'm a drummer, so like I just like the...
He's
I like
a little
songs.
Drummer boy.
Oh, yes, I am, David. And so I like, I generally listen to songs that I can drum to. And so this is one of those songs that I just like listening to. It has a nice voice, nice beat. Yeah, there's generally good vibes.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear it. All right, this is Campus by Vampire Weekend. Enjoy, everybody.
Drag my feet along the floor. Then I see you, you're walking across the campus. Cool professor studying romances. How am I supposed to pretend? Studying romances. How am I supposed to pretend? I never want to see you again. How am I supposed to pretend? I never want to see you again. The afternoon. Sleeping on the bed.
That was Campus by Vampire Weekend. I love the drum beat. You weren't kidding. That was dope drum beat on the song.
Throughout the song.
We'll get into some other stuff in a minute, but how long have you been drumming? I didn't actually know that about you.
Drumming since middle school. Cool. So about 7 years off and on. College has been harder for drumming because we just got rid of the spaces for non-band drummers to drum in. But I find time.
Yeah, cool. So I usually ask this a little later in the show, but I thought I'd just let it fly right away. And this is a very open-ended question that I ask a lot of my guests is, what are you passionate about? And that can go a lot of different directions here, but I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, it is such a big question. I'd say, like, I don't know. I feel like passion is, like, such a big word.
Yeah.
And so I usually, when asked that, and it's not often that I'm asked that. TBH. But I generally do, like, what am I involved in right now? Because usually if I'm involved in something, I usually like it, unless it's, like, mandatory.
Yeah.
Because you can't really avoid those. But, like, so what I'm involved in right now, theater, obviously, with you two. Roping David into this. Yes, clap, clap. and, yeah, so that, I'm generally interested in writing. I'm taking a creative writing class.
Cool.
Which is really interesting. I love long form writing and just spewing my thoughts in a narrative form out on paper.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's really relaxing to me.
Do you like what type of writing do you like more? Do you like to write like fictional stories, nonfiction stuff? What's your vibe with that?
I love fiction. I love making up stories and just like creating a world in which like people live and is just like trying to make it as believable as possible.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a challenge, and it's also just so fun because you get to use people, not like use people in real life, but like you get to use like aspects of people in real life.
Yeah.
And you just do, like, observe.
Yeah. And you do that with theater too, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're constructing worlds. We just constructed a whole world with this play that we were all in a couple of weeks ago. So that those two things I feel like coincide because I love to write long form stuff too.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, we have that in common. But yeah, any other things you've been working on right now on campus? I know you're involved with 3P's, the plays group.
Pen, paint, and pretzels, baby.
Pen, paint, and pretzels. Want to tell me a little bit about what you do for them?
Yeah. So this semester I'm the secretary of 3P's. I just send out all the weekly emails, trying to make them as fun as possible. I've seen them.
Your name,
My name.
We don't talk about his name.
Riley is my middle name. If listeners,
we get emails from Mr. Neil White. But anyways, just beyond the point.
You just outed me.
That's dope though. And what was the future, was your future involvement in 3P's and theater on campus look like? Actually, wait.
Hold on.
I want to talk about the play that you wrote, Everything's Fine in freshman year.
Sophomore year.
Sorry. Tell me a little bit about that because that it combines those two passions you were talking about, writing and theater. Tell me about it.
Right, yeah. So I came up with the idea late freshman year. When I was doing another 3P's play, Opus One by Ryan J. Pratt, I don't know if you know him.
Yes, yep.
But yeah, I was just like, I had this idea and I just wanted to like show it to people. And I didn't actually know in what form I wanted to show it to people. But it was like the idea of like, why do we say everything's fine when literally everything's going wrong? That's the only time I hear that phrase.
Yeah.
It's like, everything's fine. Nothing's good.
No, it's never fine.
Yeah, so I kind of wanted to like dive into that, and then I wanted to add a little bit of like personal elements. The show was very like it was not based off my life, but it had like a lot of like personal thoughts that I kind of wanted to get out. And it was it was a very personal play. It was very cool to see other people read it and act it out and show it to an audience.
Yeah.
And just like get those ideas out because I thought it was, I wanted to see it in front of other people. So
that's all. That's really inspiring, honestly. And so it was based on. You didn't say it was literally based on your life, but it was just based on like feelings, like how you're feeling about the phrase "everything's fine," and you constructed that. A narrative around more of a feeling than actually your personal experiences.
Right. I had to kind of put into dialogue my internal thoughts. Okay. So it was it was a lot of like, it was not my personal life, but it was my like, what's going on in my head? What is going on in his head right now?
Wow.
Riley is the new emotion in Inside Out.
I really am. Yeah. I'm the ginger. I'm the ginger emotion.
The ginger emotion. That's awesome, though. Congratulations on that. But I want to look at a little more music now. On My Mind by Fleece. Why'd you bring this song on?
I just randomly found this song. Well, I'm sorry, everybody. I'm an Apple Music user. But I was just scrolling on... Oh, yeah, you are, too. I was just scrolling on Apple Music, like the browse section. And it came up, and I really liked it, so I added it, and it's... very vibey. There's one little like her at the end that like that always makes me laugh out loud. It's so funny.
Well, I'll make sure to blast that part when we get to it.
Please do.
This is On My Mind by Fleece. Enjoy, everybody. My mind by Fleece. You weren't kidding. That was a indeed.
A yoink,
you could say. Okay, now we're going to talk about the thing that brought us three together, which was Marie Antoinette. And that was a play that we were all in for a big chunk of this semester. We spent a lot of time together in Bolch Arena Theater on Tufts campus.
That made the semester fly by, honestly.
That really did make it fly by.
Semester does not exist.
No,
like, really. Apartment show.
It was like over 2 months, right?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so David, do you want to tell me a little bit about, for those out there who don't know the story of Marie Antoinette, tell me what is the story of this play and what is it doing?
I would love to. Yeah, so Marie Antoinette, written by David...
Ajmi.
Yeah.
This is written in 2012. Mm-hmm. And so Marie Antoinette, this play, is sort of a retelling of the French Revolution, but from Marie's point of view. You could call it like a modern adaptation of it, because the language is like, you know, one line they're speaking French, the next line they're saying
like, oh my God,
curse words. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're being like, oh my God, like, bah.
Yeah.
So it's a modern adaptation of it, and that it takes the French Revolution from Marie's point of view. Mm-hmm. And one thing we talked a lot about as a cast is that, does this show, is the point of it to make us, you know, feel bad for Marie?
Yeah.
Does it want us to sort of like have empathy towards her?
Yeah.
you know, so that's for the audience to decide. Because it is, you know, sort of, she is the main character. We do get to see it from her point of view. And, you know, her life was kind of destroyed. But should we, you know, think of the French Revolution?
Yeah.
Like, do we want to feel bad for her?
It was a very complicated empathy problem.
Exactly.
Because, like, you saw every part of her life from her point of view and what people, like, were like to her. But you also know from history that she wasn't the nicest person.
No.
Like, she wasn't, like, the people's person, you know?
Yeah, this play, I feel like, aired more on the side of trying to draw, like, empathy from Marie's... You want to, empathize with her throughout the show, and they took it more from that angle. Like, the revolutionary people were portrayed more as evil in this adaptation of it, which I thought was really interesting, because we a lot of the time see it from the other perspective in the history books. Mm-hmm. So... now let's talk about the roles that we each played.
Oh my god! Yeah.
And that was super fun.
Act two, scene
six, or whatever. Six. Guys, Riley, who was your character in this Marie Antoinette universe?
Right. So I played Axel Fersen, who was a real person in history, and he's also not well known for, but known for being kind of Marie's lover while she was simultaneously married to Louis XVI.
Yeah,
French people.
So I kind of act as the person that Marie can depend on and also go to in terms of love.
Yeah.
While Louis is, who is played by Wiley Doak. Oh my God, such an amazing actor. Shout out to Wiley.
I'm Wiley.
While Wiley was more just like in charge of the country and worried more about that than his relationship with Marie.
Yeah.
So I was more on Marie's side and less on Louis's side.
Right. Right. I played the revolutionary, who is an embodiment of all of the revolutionary people, the people who staged the this French Revolution. I was pretty mean in the show. These people very... very angry, very fed up with how things have been run in France and the monarchy, and just Marie, just the idea of Marie in general, they are vehemently against. So I am out for blood in this show. David, how about yourself? We both were people in history. Who are you?
So I played the sheep, not a sheep.
The sheep.
The one and only.
And there were sheeps in France in this time, believe
Sheeps?
It or not.
Sheeps?
Sheep.
Sheepies?
Sheep. Period.
Okay.
Plural.
So I guess the way that I think of the sheep is that, you know, like sort of not a guardian angel, because I don't think the sheep's purpose was to be a guardian angel for Marie. It was more, I found the sheep as a sort of being a deity that was watching Marie throughout her life and was sort of seeing, like, could she progress as a person?
Yeah.
You know, going back to empathy, can Marie change and be a good leader to her people? And by the end of the show, sheep decides she cannot. Marie could not become the person that the sheep was hoping she could.
Yeah.
It was loads of fun to play a sheep.
Yes. David took full liberty in his sheep performance. It was fantastic.
You were sheeping it up.
Sheep in the morning and sheep in the night.
Yeah.
You were really doing that.
You know, tragic ending to a tragic story, just in general. We all were particularly featured at the end of the performance in our own ways. We all had to do pretty elaborate stunts or things in that last scene.
I don't know about me. You guys had to
No.
Lot.
What do you mean? It's not a dream. It's real.
It is real.
Wake up to it.
Wake up to
Riley
it.
Riley had one of the last lines in the whole show, and it was booming.
Yeah.
The loudspeakers.
Booming over everybody.
Booming with reverb.
Yeah, but it was a really fun time. I'm glad we were able to put that together. The costumes were unbelievable.
Costumes
they had
phenomenal.
We were lucky to have a huge budget for this show, so they took full creative control and brought to life these amazing costumes.
It was so good.
Cast super talented as well. We know a lot of them, got a lot closer with a lot of them. I don't know, what was any main takeaways from the whole experience, guys? What did it mean to you in the grand scheme of things, in your Tufts experience, or any other thoughts?
I honestly hadn't acted in a production for at least 1.5 years, and this just like got me back on the kick. I miss diving into a character. I miss hanging out with just the best people ever. Yeah, you guys like all made this experience so fun for me. So it was just like, it rejuvenated my love for theater.
Yeah. What about you, David?
Yeah, I think adding on to Riley, this was a phenomenal cast. It was, what, eight?
Nine-person cast.
And it's such a fun show to work with, too. I think, like, the nature of the show, it's a very witty show and, like, fast dialogue. I think, you know, this type of show is, like, perfect to do, in my opinion, with college students who are people who are, like, you know, not, I'm going to use old in quotes, not, like super older. Old, but not, like, you older. Know, they're not middle schoolers also, so that we can understand, like, sort of the layers that the show has and, like, talk about with each other and explore it together. Mm-hmm. But just, like, experiences in general, phenomenal experience. I think for me as an actor, I always am I'm always wondering, like, like, is this too crazy to do on stage? And just endless support from this whole cast, crew, audience, and these amazing people.
Yeah, it was a great experience. I echo everything you guys just said. And it was, like, yeah, it was nice. I feel like I haven't had a lot of my theater experiences have been disrupted for various reasons in recent years with COVID and other stuff going on. So it was really nice to honestly just, like, go through, like, even though Tech Week is often called Hell Week, going through that whole process, really diving into a show and just doing it with some awesome people.
Yeah, I was tired, but it was so much
fun. No, it was
fun.
Worth it. It was super so dope. So yeah, that was great. Love you guys. That was a great time. Let's move on here. Let's play a little more music. Bethlehem by Declan McKenna.
Bethlehem.
Tell me about it.
So I got into Declan McKenna, like, very quickly. I don't know. His music, it resonated with me.
Yeah.
No. But it's just like, it's a really... just to add that little interlude. Yeah. No, but it was like, it's a... That album in particular.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember what it's called. Great album.
Can't find it.
Great album. But... Bethlehem is just, like, a really cool song. It has, like, all the songs in that album have, like, a lot of packed meaning into it, and this one's a catchy one. So.
Yeah, let's get into it. Bethlehem by Declan McKenna. Enjoy, y'all.
So, you've left it all behind you for love. Only as you see it, though so many do confide in you, it seems you are the one who confides most. But you sin as you wish, because I'm in bed.
Couldn't ever be my sunrise. Sunrise, sunrise. You're just a setting sun. I'd pray and you would pass me by. You're only looking for a good time. A body you could kiss on. Turn to you and you've moved on. Well, there's something about the way you pass me by. I couldn't keep up and now I'm stuck. And I'll never forget how carefully you counted it. 725 looks to the center of a Tootsie Pop. All the times your laughter made my heart stop. Get the key unlocked, no pace, no clock. Who's there? Knock, knock.
That was Sunrise by Michelle and Bethlehem by Declan McKenna. And everybody out there, it's our favorite time of the show. Say it with me. It's PSA time.
Yeah.
And guess what? Double trouble today. Double, we have double. Two PSAs. One from Riley, one from David. Boys, take it away. What's the PSAs today?
All right.
Doorknobs. Restrooms. Bum, bum. Telephones. Keyboards.
Oh.
Other people.
Ah.
What do these things have in common?
Huh?
They are all easy ways for you to pick up or pass along germs that could lead to colds and flu. Now, you can't spend your days avoiding contact with everything, but you can take a few important steps to protect yourself. Washing your hands is one of the best and easiest ways to avoid catching or spreading flus and colds.
You tell them, man.
Woo!
Keeping your hands and the surfaces you touch clean protects not only you, it also protects those around you.
Woo!
A few extra minutes a day is all it takes to put your health first. For more on avoiding the flu, talk to your doctor or visit massmed.org and click Your Health First. Mm. This public health message brought to you by the Massachusetts Medical Society.
It was almost perfect, was so and then good. You messed it up at the end. Whatever.
So good.
Beautiful read by David Palomar.
A glitchy ad.
Gorgeous, but we're not done yet, folks. Let him cook. Riley White on the mic. Go for it.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if things get a little uncomfortable.
Ooh.
But how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is worth more than your life?
Dun dun.
Why not just ask them to stop texting? It may be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live. A message brought to you by the Ad Council, the National Highway Traffic Society Administration, and WMFO in Medford. Tufts Educational Radio. Learn more at stoptextstoprex.org.
Genuinely, peeps, don't text and drive. That was a good one.
Don't do that. All right. No, don't do it.
Thank you, boys, so much for fantastic reads of the PSAs today. And before we move on to the next songs, I have another question for both of you, actually. Mm-hmm. And this is another open-ended one, and I love, and this, I feel like, will be especially good for you, Riley, because you travel a lot of places. If you could go anywhere in the world right now, where would you go and why?
Amsterdam.
Why?
Hams down.
Why is that?
It was so quick. Amsterdam, why? Because I've never been there before, and I hear it's very pedestrian friendly. I love not looking at cars all day, and I love bricks. And Amsterdam has both of those things.
Nice.
So yeah, bricks and no cars and a lot of bicycles. A lot of like old timey bicycles, you know, cool. like the what are they called? Like the big wheel in front and small wheel in back. Penny farthing.
Big boys.
Yeah.
Those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know
sure.
What I'm talking
yeah.
about. Yeah.
They know that a name.
Have you haven't been to Amsterdam before?
I've not. I want to go so bad.
Yeah, that's on my list too. David, what about you, dude?
All right, so first thing that pops into my head is Australia, because I really want to see like emus and all the animals there, but I am terrified of spiders. Yes, but I'm scared of spiders, and I've heard they're very big there. The thing that's at the top of my bucket list for life is seeing the Northern Lights in Iceland. Mm. I have been to Iceland before, but I've never gone in winter, which is when you see the Northern Lights.
When you get
And it is kind of winter right now.
Yeah.
So if it were right now, bring me to Iceland.
Book a trip to Iceland right now.
Book me
let's
to
go.
Iceland.
Right
let's
now.
Let's go right now.
Can we stop the radio
let's
show?
Go.
Let's just like, let's just
go
right
go.
Now.
We bring them all.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah,
let's go.
Book a trip.
Boom.
Boom. All right,
it's happening.
So if you know, do you know that like if you say R, N, R, like really quickly back together, say it.
R, R. What?
R, N-R.
Arnar.
You're basically an Australian.
Oh, you got it.
Arnar.
On that note, thank you for those responses, gentlemen. I'm Looking Through You by the Beatles.
Me?
Tell me about it.
I'm Looking Through You.
Tell me about it.
I mean, it's the Beatles. It's on their album, Rubber Soul. I just added it. I don't know why I added it. Just like this past week. I know, I just haven't listened to it that much, and I really liked it. I mean, all Beatles songs, most Beatles songs are pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll throw in that exception.
There's a few stinkers
there.
There's a few stinkers.
Stinky
winky.
Stinky.
But yeah, I really like this one. It has a nice beat, has a nice message, I think. I don't know.
Gotcha. All right, let's get into it. I'm Looking Through You. It's a classic by the Beatles. Let's do it.
Moving, I cannot hear your voice.
That was I'm Looking Through You by The Beatles.
By The Beatles.
A classic, all right. Mugs. Always enjoyable. Let's look ahead, guys. Let's look ahead to next semester and future endeavors. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about it and reflect on what has happened and what is to come. Mm. What are you guys up to next semester?
Mm. Go. You can go.
Yeah, so... Sorry. 2024, the year, will be starting. I'm very excited for next semester, the spring semester. I was recently cast in the department's next musical of Twelfth Night, the musical adaptation. I'm very excited for that. It's directed by Amelia and Holly through the Tufts Theater Department. I'm very excited for that. Rehearsals for that will start in January, right when we get back from winter break. Lit. And shows will be the first 2 weekends of March, if anyone would like
that's
to come
see. That's
early. That's very
yeah.
early.
Wow.
It's like 2 months. But I'm very excited for that. I will also, very exciting, be... having an internship in Arlington at a little company called ACMI, the Arlington Community Media,
okay.
where Sam Wise over here actually worked in high school.
I did.
Because he lives there.
I did. It's,
continue
it's, a, it's a weird,
continue the legacy.
It's a little weird for me because I'm going fourth over 3,000 miles away to Italy,
yeah,
and he's
going
to be
yeah,
in my hometown. But
I will be in Arlington.
Whatever. How
Get
about
ready,
you,
Arlington?
Riley?
I'm coming.
Then I'll just be sticking around in Medford.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Medford.
But sometimes Somerville?
Sometimes Somerville.
Sometimes.
Mostly Medford, though.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Mm-hmm.
What? Anything else going on in particular? You just vibing?
Classes.
You vibing?
Yeah, vibing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
I'd love to see
it.
It's
going
to
be a vibey semester next in 2024.
Why do you say that?
I don't think I'm doing anything new. If something arises and I want to do it, then I'll do it. I'm just going with the vibe.
Yeah.
Amen.
I am both excited and scared to see what has happened when I get back from Italy. I hope nothing's exploded. I hope nobody's...
No promises.
Nobody's gone insane. I hope it's all... I hope that everything's okay.
Give me like 2 months. I'll get back to you.
All right. We're going to play a little more music now. David, what was the name of the song that you just recommended that I'll put on the playlist really
quick? Since You've Been Gone
David's
by
unprepared.
Rainbow.
You've Been
David
Gone by Rainbow. All right, we're going to play a little country music for you out there.
This is not country,
since...
sorry.
You said it was country.
I said, can I? And then I found this one. Second.
Okay, so
wow.
It's not country. Since You've Been Gone by Rainbow. This is a David song. Hope you enjoy. Yay!
Wahoo! Yeah, that's a song I can drum to. Like a...
That was Since You've Been Gone by Rainbow from the Down to Earth, I think, album. Gentlemen, we are getting close to the end of the program today. Aww. And this has been very, this is very sad because I had a lovely time with you on the show today, and I'm so happy you could come on. Any other final thoughts on things before we wrap this party up?
I just like to bring to light this one Australian dog named Bluey.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's a very special dog near to all of our hearts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, what's the deal with Bluey?
Bluey is a TV show for kids and for really everybody who's going through it. It just needs a pick-me-up, you know?
Yeah.
It's a very special show.
Yes.
I know the cast of Marie is very attached to it.
We watched an episode where Bluey... We watched several episodes, but the one that stood out to me the most, and I'm sure to many, and they all stand out, but the one that stood out the most to me was that there's one episode where Bluey's family goes camping, and... they run into Jean-Luc, the French puppy, and oui baguette. But so it was a very emotional episode where, like, you know, Bluey and Jean-Luc like, bond a lot. They play a lot together, and then unfortunately, you know, both families have to go home. The camping trip is over, and the episode skips forward ahead in time. I don't know how many years. Do you remember?
No, it throws like that curveball at us
because that's very. Like, I took creating children's media here at Tufts, and that's, like, very not uncommon, like, skipping ahead in TV shows, unless it's, like, you know, the final episode or something.
Yeah.
But in this final episode...
It goes, like, at least 10 years.
Yeah, definitely.
At least.
Jean-Luc and Bluey are old, and they meet up at a tree that they had planted on this camping trip.
And it's such a... It's a gorgeous episode. It's such a good scene. Like, it honestly, like, oh, it brings me to tears.
Oh. It does.
Man, I you know, I know nothing about this show, and I have not been on the hype train as with Bluey as the rest of the cast has been. However, just seeing your emotions and the raw feelings that you bring out from this beautiful program.
It brings out the primal happiness in me.
It does.
It's just lovely to witness. But, man, we're doing it. This is... We've gone pretty much to the final round, my friends.
Yeah. Wow. I mean... One more thing about Bluey, if I may. You know, blue Australian dogs, they always remind me of our good friend Ethan Dunn, because he is also a blue Australian dog.
Yes.
The Dunn.
Thank you.
The Dunn.
Thank you for bringing him up. What else did... Shout out Ethan Dunn, everybody. Shout out Ethan Dunn.
That is Dunn. D-U-N-N.
D-U-N. Two N's.
Two N's.
Ethan Dunn. We love that guy. He's been on the show before too.
We miss him.
All right, we're gonna wrap up this party. I think I just a couple minutes early. Thank you all so much for listening today. Thank you, Riley in particular. Not you, David. Riley in particular for coming on to the show.
I'll be back.
Thank you both for coming on to the show. This was super super fun. I'll be back. Next, we got Thanksgiving. I'll be back next week.
Yeah, you'll be back. I know.
I'll be back for the next few weekends, and then that's it. Then I'm going to Italy, and the show's gone for a little while. So we're gonna savor every last drop of it.
Savor it.
All the drops.
Savor the flavor of Sam Derringer.
Have a great week, everybody. We will see you next time. Thank you, guys. Bye bye.
Para volarme, me tocaría encontrar mis propias alas.